You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Behrendt, where we take a look at the best practices from the best dental practices all across the country. I got a great friend of mine who is brilliant, takes a lot of risks, and he is a whole lot of fun. So you're not going to want to miss this. His name is Dr. Eric Rindler. So grab a pen and hit the share button, and we'll see you in just a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you are looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show, and I hope you're having a lot of fun. We are just enjoying the heck out of this, bringing some of the best dental professionals from all over the world, bringing the best information to you and sometimes controversial conversations. So thanks for tuning in and appreciate it. And I have my good friend who I've known for a very long time, and I'm so grateful that you would do this. You and I have known each other for about 10 years, Dr. Eric Rindler. Thanks for being on, buddy. Appreciate it.
Great to be here. I'm loving it. I've seen, I think, 7 episodes, so I'm guessing I'm number 8.
You are number 8, the lucky number 8. Now, I want to just tell people a little bit about how I met you. You and I were both in the speaker showcase in the Seattle Study Club Symposium about 10 years ago, and I'll never forget. Now, you're a periodontist, a brilliant periodontist, and you took a sledgehammer to Rob Naples. Rob's going to hate that.
But from now on, he will be Ralph Naples.
No. You took a sledgehammer to Rob Naples' chest. Did you not during the middle of a lecture? Is that true?
There was a bed of nails and 235-pound cinder blocks in between Rob and the sledgehammer. At the time, it seemed like a really good idea. I was trying to illustrate a physics point, and so it was a lot of fun. Nobody remembers the point I was making, but a lot of people remember the bed of nails.
I thought he was going to die. It's one of those things you're like, oh my gosh, that guy's going to die in the middle of a lecture. Like he didn't. Rob could probably comment on that. It was pretty amazing how you did it. Now, the thing I always love about you is just so much fun, and you're you and I could make an argument. We are the two most attention deficit of anybody. You squirrels everywhere. Yeah. So once we get talking about a subject, we can go a lot of different places. But one of the things I want to say about you, the reason this show is so much fun and this particular episode, because you and I were talking just a couple of days ago, I admire you so much. You've done a great thing in dentistry. And then one day you just embraced a whole huge risk, like a tremendous risk. And I love that. And just tell everybody what you did.
Well, I did a lot of things one day, but the day you're particularly just talking about is, I mean, it wasn't an overnight decision, but I went back to school and did the executive MBA program up in Austin, and it was a fabulous, fabulous idea. I joke because I went into it thinking, all right, this is going to be fun and it shouldn't be that much work. I'm not going to say I had vacation in mind, but I mean, heck, I had done a perio residency. How much more difficult could it be? It was way more work than I ever thought, but it was way more rewarding. And besides the academic, the class part, the other people in the program were outstanding. I mean, it was unbelievable. And we can do a deep dive into what the MBA was like and the parts of it. But so there I had what I probably may have been one of the best working environments of any of our colleagues, right? there's all these great guys in the building with me, and I love going to work every day. And I thought, oh, wait a minute, these guys are going to retire one day. I need to go learn more. And so I went off and did it, and it was great. But it's done now, and the truth is I miss it every day. I mean, I really do. I miss the people.
Absolutely. And people are what makes it all work. Now, a couple of things. You might be watching this right now, and as you're learning, you know, you get out of dental school, you start to learn, you realize this is the beginning of your education. Then you hit these certain landmarks, you learn a little bit more. And even as the one speaker said this past year at symposium, I can't remember what his name was, but he was brilliant. He said, once you learn something, you completely lose the ability to understand what it was like before you learn the concept. And that is just, it's a very important thing in dentistry as you keep learning these things. And you shared with me a couple concepts that I want to flesh out and then go heavy into the whole dental insurance concept. But you use the term KOL and SME. Now tell everybody what that means. What is a KOL and SME?
So in dentistry, you hear a lot about the key opinion leaders. Often they're the guys who are on the speaker network and we're out talking at study clubs every week. Fridays, you travel somewhere. And one of the things that I learned about in talking with some of the MBA guys, particularly the military guys, is they were talking about SME, S-M-E, which is a subject matter expert. And it dawned on me that as a periodontist, or if we're talking about interdisciplinary care, I can go and talk about that as a subject matter expert. I can do a deep dive. I know the details. I really know that space. But often when you're on the road, people ask you about other stuff and you're in expert mode. You're in the, as a key opinion leader, and you comment on stuff that the truth is you're just giving your experience or your myopic view that is your impression. So we could talk about marketing, right?
Right.
I would have thought I was the greatest marketer ever. I had a successful practice and my way was the right way.
Right.
That was actually just my opinion. It was what worked for me. It wasn't that I applied segmentation, targeting, and positioning, and had a big strategy. Rather, I had implemented a few successful tactics that worked well, but they worked well for me. By no means was I really an expert, a subject matter expert on marketing at that point. I've gone back to school and I've learned a little more, right? But there's still people who know a ton more than me. It's an example, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So there's the ADD, right? The subject matter expert can do a deep dive into a topic and really is an expert on that topic. And I think those of us on the road talking about it probably need to differentiate when we're speaking as our experience versus as a real subject matter expert.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the learning piece goes, I don't know where each of us would fit in these particular categories. I mean, there's some things that we know a lot about, some things that we're just learning about. But the key piece is this, is that I have absolutely enjoyed getting to know you and some of the other people that created great relationships with in dentistry. It goes back to what Pete Dawson said so many years ago. At the end of a course one time, I was 24 years old and I asked him, I said, Dr. Dawson, what's the one thing, if there's one thing you could share with young dentists about a career, a great career in dentistry? And he thought for a second and he said, you know what? Here's what I would say. Never, ever say you have it all figured out. You never do. Just because the day that you have it figured out, it kills all the curiosity behind it. And he said, Kirk, the thing you're also going to have to be cautious about too is dentists that have it all figured out, they're not that much fun to be around. So make sure you're always in the learning mode. And he is now, I don't know how old he is, but he's up there in his mid-80s and he's still learning. Sharp.
I saw him at a meeting in the audience attending lectures this past weekend in Chicago.
At the Restorative Academy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's amazing. He's engaged. He's asking great questions. It's so much fun to see that happening. And he's always in the learning mode.
Always in learning mode. So you mentioned, and I've heard you ask this of everybody else, and I hope you ask me. And if you want to wait to the end, you can.
Yeah.
But you said you started with Dawson saying, you asked him, you know, what's the one thing that you need to know?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, let me ask you. Let's go there right now.
Wait, you ask it at the end of the interview.
Oh, okay. I'll wait until the end.
Okay. But if you want to talk about it now, because I may forget about it.
We can if you want to.
Okay.
This is how we talk all the time. No,
it's your show.
No, after you.
No, after you.
No, so, but good.
So you want to wait?
We'll wait until the end of that.
Did you write it down that we didn't cover it?
I did. Okay. I did. So I got it. I'm taking tons of notes. I got a fresh pen here. So nice.
Which kind of pen are you using?
I don't know. I got the ones from Costco. I love these things.
Stay focused.
Okay. So one of the things that we're talking about now, as you learn these concepts on this very concept of learning more concepts, is seeing things a little bit differently. And the hot topic that comes up all over, it's on every single person's challenge board. If you were to create a challenge board of the top 10 things you're dealing with in dentistry, you know, even great restorative dentists that don't have any dental insurance in the practices still deal with it every day, but it's how you see dental insurance. And that's a pretty powerful topic.
So that's huge. That's huge. Okay. So one of the things that I really learned was to look through a different lens. Mm-hmm. Okay. I looked through sort of the same lens and not just the lens you look through, but how you frame it. Okay. So my lens from my private practice before going back to school was that dental insurance is bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't believe that at all anymore. The reality is there are lots of practices that have successfully incorporated dentistry into the practices, and dental insurance pushes a lot of patients that wouldn't go to the dentist without dental insurance. I sat in my class with 60 bright, successful people, and I'd say half of them asked me questions about who should they go to, who's on their insurance. So we as dentists live in our homogeneous world. However different we all think we are, okay? I'm a periodontist that has a fee-for-service practice as opposed to corporate dental model where they're taking lots of insurance or whatever it is. We're more similar than we think. And we see a biased sample of the population.
Right.
So being immersed in a population that's not dentist, I was amazed to see how important dental insurance really is in the decision-making factor for where people want to go and how important it is. So I now understand that dental insurance is important to our dental ecosystem. Okay. Right. So instead of one particular practice, and so I'm going to actually turn the table on you. And I'm going to ask you to teach me, because I know you know lots of people who you've helped, practices you've been in, that have successfully incorporated dental insurance into the practice to make their practices not just good practices and not just profitable practices, but some of the best practices around. And we have a mutual friend who I know who's successfully incorporated it. But I think there are a lot of people. And that's one of the things that my lens was, dental insurance is bad. And I think it allowed me to leave probably millions of dollars on the table because I was so myopic in my view. So talk to me about successfully incorporating dental insurance into your practice.
Well, you and I talked about this, like I said, just a couple of days ago. And, you know, in 25 years of doing this, I went to the seminars as you did 20 some years ago, and people were basically damning insurance. You know, they tell you insurance is bad and how the first insurance policy with General Motors, it was this amount. In today's day and age with inflation, it should have grown to this amount, and how it compromises the ability for dentists to be able to make the right choices for patients. And I get that. I totally get that, because the reason most of you, if you're watching this, the reason you went into dentistry in the first place was there was somewhere down the road where you were inspired. You were inspired by someone who was either a dentist or a friend or a mentor, and you saw that it was a great opportunity to work with people and have a great life yourself. And then there are these things that get in the way along the course. And it's easy to get upset with insurance, and it's easy to get upset on a global scale as far as insurance and reimbursements and all that kind of stuff, and you can call it cost. So I think that's the first thing just to throw out there. It's an easy target. It's an easy target for us to get mad, get upset. And I've seen it for years where people get rid of insurance. We get these phone calls all the time. People call us and they go, you know, I hate XYZ dental insurance, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh gosh, why did you just say that? And then the next phrase out of their mouth is, I just got rid of it because I hate it. And I always ask them, do you know what percentage of your practice it was? And then they always say, no, I just hate it. I'm not going to practice dentistry that way. So I'm done. And what ends up happening is they kill half of their practice right away, or they don't give these people an opportunity to come back and really see the possibilities that are beyond that. So I think it's important. Number one is just saying, hey, look, the opportunity is here. It's a great opportunity to build trust and do it the right way. And over time, maybe you start with a little insurance. If you don't have a flow of new patients coming in the practice, it is marketing. It is. Now you're going to pay a fee for that, and you got to comply with all the rules. But I love it when a young dentist comes to us, or they'll sit in our seminars, or we start good, and they go, hey, look, I'm on a lot of insurances right now, but I'm starting there with the full intention that I won't be there in 4, 5, 6, 7 years. It's just a way to backfill the practice. And it, you know this, when you were practicing, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was super easy to get mad and you say, oh, right. I don't want to do any of that. So I think it's just important just to really get a good perspective on that. The other thing too, is when you watch the metrics, you know, Dottola talked about that in the last episode. Anytime you watch metrics, you can get a better understanding. If you're watching this right now and you have a pen, I think the first thing to write down is data doesn't lie. Just write down the data, and data doesn't lie. It tells you how much, what's happening in your practice, and it's a good place to start. And we're not looking for perfect here, but we are looking for progress. And I think one of the most important things to do when you're looking for progress in anything and any good learning is just to say, I don't have it all figured out. Like you and I were talking about, Eric, just look for experts. Mm-hmm. And I think Sandy Hudson's probably one of the best experts in all of dentistry from Unlock the PPO. And she's just a brilliant, brilliant, very helpful woman, an individual who a lot of her practices work with, and she can negotiate or structure it in a way where it doesn't become an obstruction. It becomes something very helpful in your practice. So that's some of the first elements that I would highly suggest is just really, number one, there's somewhere to start. Number two, look at the data. And number three, look for an expert because they are going to change your perspective on things.
Yeah, I love that. You know, when I was thinking about it, so, you know, we own a retail store. Missy, my wife, owns a stationery store. And years ago, she did a Groupon, okay? Mm-hmm. And she did a Groupon for the purpose of getting more people into the store,
right,
and being able to deliver that fabulous customer service experience. That's her reputation that she does. And the Groupon people started coming in. And let me tell you how Groupon works. Groupon says, we'll sell you this discounted product if we can sell so many of them. Benefits mm-hmm. of scale. And then the vendor gets a check for yep. all of them. But her goal was not the short-term cash influx, right? Which is one reason to do it. One reason to do dental insurance. But mm-hmm. she wanted to build relationships.
Yeah.
But what happened was the Groupon customer at that point wasn't really her customer. She hadn't done any segmentation and recognizing that that was going to be the right people bringing to the store. And her staff would become so irritated at the Groupon shopper who had a $50 gift card and they wanted to spend $49.99 and wanted to know why they weren't getting a penny back.
Right.
Right. So then what happened was they didn't deliver the customer service experience to these people because they were so irritated at them.
Right.
So it actually turned out to be a negative that they did the Groupon. And I think we do a little bit of that with the dental insurance.
Right.
So we need to understand, why are we doing dental insurance? What is the purpose? How we're going to take care of these patients? Or is it to get the short-term cash influx from seeing more people? Are we trying to grow our patient practice with this? And if so, we sure better deliver our core value, our position to those patients that come in. They better get the A-plus experience, not like, oh, I hate your insurance company. No, right. We don't want to do that. And I often think we're contributing to the adversarial relationship with the insurance company. Why don't we realize, hey, this billion-dollar company has a vested interest in seeing us take good care of their patients. I can right. tell you, they are just as concerned with the right kind of dentist caring for their patients as just any dentist seeing
yeah.
their patients.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is such a hot topic and people get so angry and so frustrated about it. I think this is an important thing just to bring the surface. There's a lot of tiny details that go with it. There's no question about that. But the key is you use the word core values and building a dental practice, starting with your core values, really training your team. That's a big piece of this. And then the ultimate mindset that comes from the core values and training your team is hugely key in this, because if you've got the right mindset that people come into your office and they believe money spent in your office is some of the best money they'll ever spend, that's a great place to start with your team. Then what you're going to find over time is the insurance doesn't play such a role. You might have some insurances in your practice and you might titrate some of them out or slow down your participations, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But really the bottom line is this, if I have a practice or I have a business, or if you're a dentist and you have a business, the key piece here is just having the right mindset or the right framing of how it all works in your office. And let me give you a perfect example. There are a lot of offices we go to see and somebody will say to us, you know, we just have so much insurance in our office. Our patients only want what insurance will provide. It's just these insurances are so bad. And then when we sit in the office, when we come out as a coach, and sometimes we're just observing, paying attention, the person that answers the phone says this, Do you have insurance? What kind of insurance do you have? Do you know what policy it is? Do you know what your insurance covers? Do you know it? You know, and they use the word insurance 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, I got to get some insurance. So I think that's one of the first places to start is just making sure you've got it all framed up the right way before people come to your office. They come to you. And the key is this, is that maybe you don't start this way. Maybe people do come to you because of your insurance. They do. But over time, what you hope and what I hope for you, and I'm sure, Eric, you hope to too, is people come to you because of you. And that is the game to play. And that's the game worth investing in the future dentistry. And then you're going to find all the details kind of take care of themselves. Yeah. So
no, I agree. I mean, it's a chance to build a relationship. And our job isn't just to do things to our patients. It's for us to spend the time to interview the patient, to talk to the patient and find out what's the best treatment for that patient.
Right.
So it's not what's the best thing if you're in a big lecture and there's 1,000 people watching how you're going to treatment plan the case. What's the best way to take care of that patient? And then if it is having to work within the confines of the insurance limitations, that's no different than any other financial confines that we have with our patient. So I've had a pretty big paradigm shift on the global ecosystem of dentistry and where dental insurance fits in. And it's not as the bad actor. It's just one of the variables that facilitates patients getting to the dentist and allowing them to be well cared for.
Well, you know this too. And anytime it's the bad actor or it's the bad element, it just distorts your ability to think. You just say, hey, look, it is what it is. It's part of the whole entire process. So,
and it gets them in your door.
And it gets them in your door.
It gets them in your door.
Absolutely. The subject comes up when it comes to insurance and growing the practice. People always say, well, what's the best marketing? I get this question a lot. What's the best marketing? Where's the biggest ROI that you'd ever get in marketing? I say this. I think the best marketing ever is care. There are people out there that care and there are people that don't care. What a great place to start. We're going to show everybody we care a lot about what we do, who we do it for, all that kind of stuff. And again, insurance takes its place in that. The other thing that I want to flush out too, because as we change our perspective, because like you, Eric, there were parts of my early learning where I would get mad at insurance. You get so frustrated. And the thing that I learned, I watched some of the best practices do this all over the country. They would do what was called slowing down participation. Now, this is a very important thing that isn't taught a lot. And Chris Ramsey talked about it last week. When they opened up a certain insurance to their practice, what they did was they limited it to only 200 people, which is brilliant because you don't have to open the floodgates. Let me tell you why this is so brilliant. Because when you start to participate with an insurance, there's no rules about how many patients you have to see. Most offices sign up for something and it backfills all the openings in your practice. And then over time, these patients continue to get referred and then you don't watch it and you freak out later. You're like, it's 50 to 60% of my practice. The cool part about it is these are all dials that you can play with where you can actually start to slow them down. So if you have an insurance that's not desirable in your practice, you can count the number of appointments or new patient appointments and you can say, hey, look, next month, we're going to lessen that by 10%. The month after that, we're going to lessen that by 10% because you have new patients calling all the time that don't have insurance. They call because they want you as a healthcare provider and you don't have a place for them because you've backfilled it with all these other less desirable insurance.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Ramsey and Ritter and it's really interesting. I think they come up with so many good ideas because have you ever seen them communicate with each other? It's an open line of communication. They can challenge each other.
Yeah.
And they listen to each other. It's not like when you and I talk and we're both dug in on our idea and we can't hear the other person because we want to say what we want to say.
Right.
It's really interesting. And I think having watched them, I was with Ritter in Chicago last weekend and listening to the way he communicated and then watching them on the show. I mean, it's really interesting. They don't really dig in. I mean, it's kind of interesting. So just as that example, it's something they probably came up with together rather than one guy saying, let's do this.
Right. And they truly have a very unique partnership. Those are two guys that absolutely love each other. They do listen. I've watched the same thing. They do communicate very, very well. And they do listen to each other's thought processes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're both incredibly creative. So they come up with things that are beneficial for everything. I mean, just being in a creative environment creates a lot of energy to begin with. So absolutely.
The other thing is I see people sign up and get off of insurance, just like anything, and they never talk to the reps. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that was somebody you'd want to bring into the fold. If you're thinking of adding, I can tell you with a third party financing company after talking with them and finding out they don't want to do all your financing. They only want to be in a certain percentage of your practice. And I'm sure the insurance company is the same way. They don't want to take over your practice. They want a small slice of it, and they can help you determine the best way to incorporate it in successfully and profitably into your practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it be insurance, it is important to get to know the reps as far as insurance goes. I mean, everything, when you have a basis for a relationship, there are things that are certainly negotiable in a lot of respects. And that's the first place to start, is if you have somebody to communicate with. You talked about third-party financing. There's so many great ones. CareCredit is obviously one of the biggest. I mean, it's so important to use those resources because those people are trained. They know how to integrate those processes in your practice. And again, it frames your learning really in a different way. So on the subject of insurance, just a couple more things I wanted to just say about this is that over time, the thing I can't say enough is insurance isn't bad or good. The question you have to decide in the United States of America, and this is the coolest part, this country is so amazing. You know why it's so amazing, Eric?
Because it has an AM at the front, an A at the end, and it says Eric in the middle.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's very true. But you can choose. You can choose. You can choose how to practice. You can choose to be a periodontist. You can choose to go back and get an MBA if you want. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you can choose to practice however you want. There are some people that we see out there who are like, I don't want to do any future service. I don't like the big restorative. I just want to do a lot of single tooth dentistry. You know what I mean? I enjoy single. That's okay.
That's exactly right.
So, and the cool part, you know, there's some dentists, I see them all the time. You get to see them too. They're like, I don't want to be checking hygiene all day. I don't want 5-6 hygienists. You know, I just want one. I want two, you know, and you can choose how to do that. And you could choose to, if you want to be in more of a private care environment, the thing that's so cool about this country is that if you try something and it doesn't work, you know what you can do?
Try something different.
And try something different.
It's a super exciting time in dentistry because there are so many options on how to practice. And the idea of having a single practice by yourself still exists.
Right.
The idea of going to work with colleagues and having friends in there, people to change ideas with, develop relationships, not have to make all the decisions, but to share the responsibility with other really smart, bright people. It's been a pretty big paradigm shift to think, what's the best way to practice? Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer, but there's a best way for each of us, or multiple best ways.
Well, I think a common theme too, that if you've listened to a lot of these, because you're a great friend, you give me great feedback, is you can't figure this stuff out on your own. There's a lot of learning that we can do through guided learning. You know, Dottola talked about the lab technician watching this whole process because they can speed up your learning. Same thing happened when you got involved in perio. You know, you learn a lot from the experts around you, and then you can start to put together the tapestry of how you want to practice. And I can't say that enough. You know, when I got started, you're about the same age. Are you younger? I think you're younger than me.
I'm way younger than you are.
Stop. But you look good.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
Oh, yeah. I'm way younger than you.
Okay. How old are you?
Yeah.
But you know, this is, when we got started, there were things called preceptorships. They used to have these things where you would get involved in dentists. I remember this dentist. There were a couple of dentists I knew. They'd have like gatherings at their office on a Friday or Thursday afternoon. And they'd say, hey, look, come on over here. I want to show you a couple of things that I've learned. Let's get to know each other. We can walk through a few cases. And their mentors were really, really strong a long time ago, and they still exist today. But it's one of those things where you've got to look very hard to find, because a lot of people are just too busy mm-hmm. in some respects. Yeah. And the learning that you get from a mentor is so powerful that it's hard to ever recapture that or learn that on your own.
Did you just ask me what's the most important thing to tell a young person?
I am going to ask you that right now. Let's backtrack.
You just said it. It's pick good mentors. You've got to start with good mentors. You just talked about something that was really great. And you talked about learning from your lab.
Right.
Okay. So how many of us view ourselves above the lab guy?
Right.
Oh, he's the lab guy. No, that's backwards. And that's one of the things I was guilty of, is now I realize after going back to school, you can learn from all the people around you. As a dentist, if you're not going and learning from the lab, he's an expert. He's a subject matter expert. He knows way more about the laboratory part of your restorative care than you do.
Right.
Like it or not, he's an expert. We talked about in my MBA, two guys I learned a ton from, right? The two people I really learned the most from sat next to me. Lee Howard talked about mentor capitalism. Okay.
Now tell us what that is. What's mentor capitalism?
It's a concept that when you have a mentor, okay, the most important thing in your professional career is your mentors. Mm-hmm. It's not a passive activity by you or by your mentor, meaning your mentor, whether you know it or not, is investing time and effort into helping guide you. And you have a responsibility to, if he recommends you read a book, read the book.
Yeah.
He may not come out and say, read the book. He may say, one of the best books I read was this. Well, that's a clue that you should read that. In your program, you make lots of subtle hints, right? Those aren't subtle hints. They're like, hey, go do this.
Right.
And so to view your mentor as a GPS who's kind of guiding you, he's like, oh, you want to go from here to Dallas? Here's sort of how you go. But you still got to get in the car and drive it. You've got to figure out how to work around the detours, where you're going to stop for a snack mm-hmm. or two. So you have to invest effort into your mentor, just as your mentor is investing effort into you.
Yeah,
I think it's okay to make it a formal relationship and have mentors for your dental life and mentors for your personal life and for wealth accumulation and have mentors in all different phases of your life.
Yeah. And it's okay to have a good give and take relationship in that, because sometimes the mentor, you know, if it's a real true mentor, they want to learn too. And right. also expectations around mentors. I remember one guy, his name was Byron, and he was one of my mentors, and we met for breakfast, and I was about 15 minutes late for breakfast. He stood up and he said, look, don't ever be late again. That's lesson number one. And I remember I was like, oh my gosh, I felt horrible. Because he walked away and I'm like, oh man, I just let down one of my favorite people in the world. And you know what? I'll never forget that as long as I live. Because he was setting the bar. Look, don't waste my time.
Yeah, I'm going to invest,
but don't waste my time. The other thing, Brian Dodge does this in Texas too. He suggests this. When you work with a kid or a younger mentor, say, I want you to read this book, and then put a little note on page 72 that says, call me when you get to this page, because I want to know what you learned in the page before it, or put a look, you know. And then when you ask the kid, did you read the book? They'll go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And go, really? Did you really read it? I'm like, yeah, 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 yeah. So I think it's okay to have a little bit of a challenge, because if people are going to invest, you want to show that the investment's got a good return.
Well, and your mentors aren't always traditional mentors that are like Jim Summit would be to me, or Bill Robbins, guys who are have a right. couple more years on them. Sometimes they're the guy who just got out of school. It may be your employer or a guy who's hired you to come in and consult, and you realize, hey, wait a minute, I can learn a whole lot from this guy on this area where he's a SME,
right.
a subject matter expert. So that was one of the real thrills. We talk about picking good mentors, and the guys sitting around me were, right. became my mentors. So yep. I talked about Lee on mentor capitalism, and I'll tell you about Dave Swanson. And Dave's actually a character in all these books. He was in over 100 firefights in Solder City, okay? He's a real American hero. I mean, he's the real deal. Mm-hmm. He's understated. He just was there. He was just a guy. And until we took the time and effort to get to know him, then I'm like in awe of him. But he's actually on the lecture circuit, does keynotes all over the place. And he talks about resiliency. Remember our myopic vision of the world, the homogenetic group of dentists, and however different we feel we are, mm-hmm. we're all kind of the same. Throw a Dave Swanson in there and let him talk about resiliency. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. The yeah. world's a whole lot bigger than us and our dental friends and guys who come in and talk to dentists all the time.
Yep.
You know, when Stryker wants him to talk with their sales reps, you think maybe he's got a good message to send. So, you know, I started thinking about resiliency and how it applies to my world as a dentist. I mean, it's all amazing stuff.
Absolutely.
So yeah. good mentors. And then what's my favorite quote ever? Do you remember it?
Show
me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Your future.
And so. Going back to school with all those guys and getting to call them like I would call you my friend, pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. And then, you know, the end of it, I mean, everybody's heard about this, but the ultimate fruit of anyone's life. They asked people, there was a 75-year Harvard study done on happiness, and I'm sure you've probably seen it. We'll put a link to it. It's beautiful because what it all came down to is in the end is just the relationships. Love was the ultimate test of whether or not somebody enjoyed their life. It wasn't how successful they were, how money, all those things. It was the depth of the relationships. And I can say this clearly, I get so much out of this. Number one, I get to learn from you guys and I get to see you guys. You know, obviously you and I have been friends for a long time, but what's more important than that is—
Are you going to say it? Are you going to say you love me?
I do. I do love you, but I love you in a guy way.
You're looking deep in my eyes.
I know.
Oh, my mind was going somewhere else. Okay.
I know.
You were at the word thee.
Well, my favorite part about this is just the depth of the relationship that happens long term. It is truly, truly fun, not only to, you know, I don't want more hundreds or thousands of friends. Oh, I think what the whole world wants is just better relationships with the people we already know. Yeah. And it's really, really cool when you can do that in a learning environment. So I want to wrap up with a couple of things, because I always ask everybody this. I really respect what you've done. You've done a great thing, not only in dentistry, but on the education side. What are some of the other things you would tell a young dentist or even a mature dentist watching this? You know, greatest pieces of advice?
The biggest thing is pick good mentors. Pick good mentors. And I've been incredibly lucky with the mentors I've had. Just amazing. You know the guys I've gone to work with for 20 years. And if I didn't go to work with them, if I didn't get a call to my friends, they're the people who I'd seek out to be my mentors. And so I just want to hammer home that one point. Pick good mentors. And invest in the people who are mentoring you.
Yep.
What is your thing? What's the one thing you think that a young guy should know?
Well, I would probably echo the same sentiment. You just got to pick really good friends, not only in your professional life, but also in your personal life. You got to pick really good people to be around. Because I think it's this, in the course of our lives, the challenge that everybody has is just, where do I put my energy? Because you can't put your energy in everything. The most successful people I've ever seen, they give their best energy to things that matter most, whether it be their children, their health. They're just not splintered everywhere. You know, I don't know that a good investment for me is to spend 3 hours a night on a computer. I'd much rather be, you know, talking to my family, go out to dinner or have friends over. You're going to get more joy out of that and everything. Now, again, it goes back to what we were saying at the beginning. When you start, there's a lot that you don't know, you know, you don't know and you learn more. And when you get older, I like the word now at the age of 47, it's called joy. I just love that word because there's certain things that you do, motions that give you a lot of joy, that they didn't give you the joy that you had before. And now each one of us reaches to a place where you might be at halftime, which is maybe I have less light in front of me than I do behind me. And now I got to make better choices. It's not so much about
you are 36 now.
I am 36. Hey, you know, the way I look at it is I'm a third of the way. So through my life. So we'll see what happens.
How old are you?
Don't go there. Don't go there. So
you're 40 what?
I'm 47.
47?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Nice. Okay. So you said two other things before I let you off. Most important decision you ever make, it's the gal you marry, the person you marry.
Absolutely.
And you and I both won the lottery, my friend.
I won the lottery in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. There's no question. When they say it's a great deal to how happy you are, it is very, very true.
So here's to Missy. Here's to Sarah. And the others, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing going back to business school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing. Things that I thought I was an expert on, thought I really knew, I realized there's so much more that I feel like I need to learn now. I know so much less than I knew 3 years ago. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, brother, I really appreciate you. I love these little conversations we always have. We have them quite a bit just on the perspective of learning. So how can people find you, Dr. Eric Rindler? How can anyone find you?
They can email me at erindler@me.com or ctgraft@aol.com. I think I'm the last guy left on AOL. ctgraft@aol.com.
You've got mail. So does it still say that?
Yes. No,
it does.
I don't think it does. I can't imagine it does. I just leave it on. So it comes on my iPhone. I don't even have it on a computer anymore.
Oh, buddy, they got new stuff now. So, well, thank you, brother. Hey, I really appreciate you.
It's always fun spending time with you.
Always fun spending time with you too, my friend. So thank you for being on. And if you're watching, thank you for watching the Best Practices Show. If you have other ideas or comments or challenges, please feel free to put them in the thread. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great evening.